I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go. Father
God, I am from the Lighthouse Chapel International. Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Let your word make sense to us. Let your word enlighten us. Let your word inspire us. And let your word energize us, Lord, for moving forward and advancing into the things that you have ordained for us to walk in. For overcoming battles and for strengthening ourselves for the days and months ahead in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your blessing this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. When I get to heaven, take a seat on a lonely bench
by the fields of heaven. I'll sit and think about my life. The life I led.
And when I
went, I did places I went.
Wow. I
hope I never say I regret the way I lived.
Right, beautiful, hallelujah. But this is a very meaningful song. That when I get to heaven, I don't want to wish I had some more time here, because I suddenly find out that everything I've been hearing is real and true, and that I really could have done a bit more. Do you see? And so I think it's a very good song. Amen. Now, it turns out that my message today is entitled, Can't You Do a Little Bit More? Can't you do a little bit more? Amen. So I'm going to share with you for a few minutes from the book, Can't You Do Just a Little Bit More? Amen. And I believe that it is very easy to get to a place of complacency, a place of relaxation, a place of acceptance of whatever your circumstances are and how things have been for you, especially when you've tried a little bit and you don't seem to be making headway, and your effort doesn't seem to be adding much, if anything at all, to where you are. Then we tend to accept and settle at the place where we are at and say, this is it, we have arrived. We have exhausted our options. We've exhausted our efforts, our progress, our chances of moving ahead. Everything is finished. And so we stay at that place. But we can do more. Amen. I said we can do more. As a church, we can do more. Do you believe it? There is a lot more effort. I know that we have worked hard. I know that we have prayed a lot. But we can do some more. We can do a little more. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I want to encourage you by sharing this with you from chapter 1. Now, Joash, king of Israel. Okay. 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 14. 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 14. It says, now Elisha was falling sick of his sickness, whereof he died. He was falling sick of his sickness, whereof he died. That means the sickness that killed him eventually had started, right? And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot! And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto Israel, unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times, then thou hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. Hallelujah. Now, this is a very interesting story about doing a little bit more and the difference doing a little bit more adds to anything. The difference it makes when you go what we call the extra mile. Do you see? When we go the extra mile, when we make that extra effort, which then makes that huge difference. Hallelujah. Now, many things are like that, where, you know, the extra effort is where the difference lies. In fact, one day I heard somebody say, a famous preacher, he said, there is nothing extra. There is nothing extraordinary except what is extra to ordinary. Do you understand that? He said, there is nothing extraordinary except what is extra to ordinary. Now, most people would settle for ordinary. You know, most people settle for what is acceptable. Most people settle for what works. The basic thing that is required of me and what I need to do is what most people do and stop right there because I've done it. But in real life, even though sometimes the difference between people and difference between situations seems to be very vast, the foundation and what lies at the heart of the cause of that difference is usually that little bit extra that somebody does. That's what puts a difference between people and between great and ordinary things. Hallelujah. I saw another statement somewhere. He says, the enemy of great is good. Do you understand that? He says, the enemy of great is good. The reason why people don't do great things is because they settle or are stopped by good things. Do you see? They do good. They are celebrated for the good they have done. They are clapped for. They are cheered on for doing good. So that eliminates the need to strive for greatness. Because there is no need to really struggle if you've done good. If what you've done is good, it seems to be enough. So here is the story of Elisha, who had fallen sick. And as you can see, this he was not going to recover from this sickness. He was on his way out. Do you see? Then came Joash, king of Israel, and he came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Elisha said unto him, "Take bow and arrows." And he took unto him bow and arrows. So what it was, he was now, his country was being invaded. And he was praying that the prophet would help him. Do you see? So the prophet, the prophet was even sick. Do you understand? He was not well. He was not doing well at all. But he gave him a chance. Do you see? And so he said, "Listen, take bow and arrows." And he took unto him bow and arrows. So that's the first point of obedience. Do you see? The first thing he was supposed to do was to take bow and arrows. And he took the bow and arrows. Then he said unto the king of Israel, "Put thine hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. So that's the second level of obedience. And then he said, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, "Open the window eastward." And he opened it. Do you see? And then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria." Hallelujah. Now, this statement is what should have inspired this Joash to really take what he was doing seriously. When the arrow was named the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, because this was the main thing. The main thing he was looking for was deliverance from the situation he was in. Do you see? And the prophet said to him, "This arrow is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance." So that should have made him, that should have energized him, that should have empowered him to then say, then I want more. If this is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, then I want more. Are you getting it? If this is what would take me out of the situation, then I want more. But you see, many of us don't take spiritual things very seriously. And even when we take them seriously, we're only content to do just enough. Just enough. Just the basic thing that is required and nothing more. So look at this man. He says, the prophet said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. This arrow you have shot is the arrow that will deliver you from the king of Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. Now by this time, he's tired. He's tired of doing the right thing. He's tired of attending the prayer meetings. He's tired of waking up early in the morning to pray. Because he says he has prayed and prayed. You know, last time when we had Swelling Sunday, we prayed for how many hours? Three? No, more. This is our prayer counter. Reverend Munene, how many hours collectively we prayed? How many hours? 402. That's 402. 402. And even that was his, I told him to slice off some of the things and give us a kind of average. Do you see? So it was actually more than that. See, sometimes when you've done something and prayed and prayed and prayed, when you've gone on outreaches, because we've had a lot of outreaches in this church, especially in Pasadena. You get it? We've been everywhere. We've been on the other side. We've been on this side. We've been to that park and been to all the parks. Do you see? Yeah. We've had dawn prayer meetings, early morning prayer. We've had afternoon prayer, evening prayers. All night prayer. What? What? Tongues night. Thank you. Yeah, all day Saturday prayer. And then, what do you say? Skid Row outreach. Yes. We've done so many things. Are you getting it? And that's what this guy did. He said, he took them, and then he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. He did one, two, and three, and stopped. And he says, the man of God was wroth with him, because he stopped and he said, you should have done it five times. Now three is two steps from five. He has come all the way. He's taken step one. Step one was take the bow and the arrows. And he took it. And he said, put thine hand on the bow. That was step two. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened the window eastward. That was step three. Right? And then he said, shoot. And he shot. That was step four. And then he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in effect till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. That's step five. And he said, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice. That's step six. So in step six, he needed a minimum of five efforts. Do you see? He had come all the way to the threshold of victory, except that by that time he had lost steam and had lost that desire for what he was looking for. How often do we come so close to the victory, so close to what we are looking for, so close to what we've been working so hard for all our lives, and we get get so close to it, and then we lose the energy, we lose the drive, we lose the interest, because we're driven more by the effort we have made in the past than the victory that lies just ahead. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. You see, to get to the top or to get to any place, there are many steps you have to take. One or two steps usually doesn't take anybody anywhere. If you were to try it, everybody stand up, please. Everybody just stand up. Just stand up for a moment. Stand up. Right? Now, I want you to take three steps in any direction from where you are. Everybody take your best three steps. One, two, and three. Now look around. You see, everybody is pretty much in the same place. Can you see that? Everybody's in the same place. Even with long strides, you see, you still are in the same place. But if you're talking about, let's say, steps that will make a difference, like take you out of this building, you would usually need more steps than three. Do you understand? If you want to see a change, and indeed you can see a change because outside the sun is shining. If you want to get into the sunshine, you're going to need more than three steps. You can't take three steps and be discouraged. You can't take three steps and lose the drive and the interest in seeing the sun. You can't take two steps and just give up. You see, sometimes people are looking for something, looking for a job. They attend one, two, three interviews. They're not taking, and they give up. They give up. They send a couple of applications here and here and here, and they give up. Sometimes people are looking for a beloved, let's say a relationship. It didn't work with this one, didn't work with this one. It didn't work with this one. Oh, then it's not for me. For me, God didn't mean that I should get married. No. Sometimes even when you get to the right place, you see, in the story we're reading, you can see the steps advancing. But then you get to a place where now at that level, you need to do, let's say, at step six or level six. He needed to do level six itself five times. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's a lateral move. You're not taking any more steps upwards. But at that same place, you need to now go to the left five times. Are you getting it? It's like taking the elevator to the fifth floor because I said that's where the office is. But then you come out of the elevator and you are still not in the office. The fact that they say the office is on the fifth floor doesn't mean when you step out of the elevator, you'll be in the office. So many times on the fifth floor, you step out of the elevator, then you have to walk left. Door one, door two, door three, door four, in order to get to the place where you belong and where God has ordained for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So as a church, God is expecting us to do a little bit more. Do you see what I'm saying? We are doing all the right things. Yes, prayer is the right thing to do. Getting up at dawn to pray is still the right thing to do. Going out on outreach is the right thing to do. Stepping out to apply for jobs is the right thing to do. Learning and studying to write an exam is the right thing to do. But the fact that you failed the first time and the second time and the third time and the fourth time, you're probably just one more effort away from seeing what you have been working so hard for. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I came to tell you this morning, you must not give up. You must not give up. You must not become discouraged. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We must not become discouraged. We must still go out there. Oh yes, we must still go out there. We must still knock on doors. We must still preach to people. We must still evangelize. We must still go out, because we are still doing the right things. Now, one of the things we need to see from this passage is that just because you obeyed some of the steps doesn't mean you immediately see victory. But it's the right step. Do you see what I'm saying? If you want to cook some food, you want to make fried rice, you want to eat fried rice, getting some raw rice from the store is a good step. Even though it doesn't put fried rice in your mouth. It's the right step. It's the right step. It may not feel like it because you can't see fried rice anywhere near the sack. But it's the right step. Without that step, you might as well kiss that dream bye-bye. Do you see what I'm saying? Bringing that bag of rice home and moving it from the car into the kitchen is still the right step. It's a good step. It's a good step towards enjoying fried rice, even though it doesn't feel like it at the time. Because if you look, you will not see any fried rice anywhere. Then you start to boil the rice. You get it? And then you start to cook it. You are nearer fried rice. And you are so much nearer it than you have ever been before. You are near it. Even though it doesn't feel that way. Then you have to cook the rice and then you have to fry it, you know. Don't let me get into that because I'm not sure I may miss my way at that point. I don't want you to go and follow my recipe and start calling me and saying that, Pastor, your fried rice didn't work. But I think the steps I've given you will bring you close enough. Yeah, from that point, you have to ask somebody else. You can ask DJ, yes. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? What are you losing steam for in your life? Some of you are discouraged. You are discouraged. Discouraged about life itself. Discouraged about your careers. Discouraged about your finances. Discouraged because you seem to have tried. You have made the effort. You've done all the things you were told to do. I mean, look at this guy. He's being told a whole lot of things. Do you see? And he's doing them. He said, then he said, shoot. And he shot. And Elisha made the confession. This is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And he shot it and he didn't see the deliverance. And he said, the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians. Then the man of God said, now take the arrows. And he took them again. And then the man of God said, smite upon the ground. And he smote 1, 2, 3. And said, what's the point? What's the point? And Elisha said, no! Why did you stop? You came too close to victory to stop. He said you needed 2 more strikes. 2 more efforts. Yes, you are 2 interviews away. 1 and the next one. See, one of the things about interviews is each one improves you. Yes. Yes. Each one prepares you for the next one. It makes you good at them. And so as on your journey to your dream place, you need several steps. You need many of these interviews that don't take you in order to get your foot into the one that takes you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. You need that. You need that. Even sometimes relationships are like that. You need a breakup to be available for the next one. Yeah. Until that breakup happens, you are unavailable. Do you get it? So you need a painful breakup. And the more attached you are to what you need to break away from, the more it hurts to separate you from it. Yeah. Yeah. That's why it hurts. Because you are too attached to the thing you need to detach yourself from. And so God has to yank you away from it in order to make you available for the next. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so you find that it may have to be the case. But God has not forgotten you. He says, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then thou hast smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. You would have gotten permanent victory over Syria. Do you see? And then it says, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but 3 times. It means you win the battle 3 times. You see? Then after that, the prophet who made it happen died. So even though he was getting the lesson at that point, the opportunity was gone. Do you see? We need to have a posture of always being prepared to do. Oh, you may be seated. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean for you to stand. Yes. Do you see what I'm saying? We need to have an attitude of always going the extra mile, doing a little bit more. Do you understand? A little bit more than the prescription. A little bit more than what you are required to do. You must be prepared to do that. Always find out, what am I supposed to do? And do a little extra. Because extraordinary people do things that are extra to what ordinary people do. And usually, it's not a whole lot. The difference is not much. But it makes a huge difference. Do you see? The other day when I went to McDonald's, I hadn't been there in a long time. And then suddenly they came up with this deal thing and somebody showed me that McDonald's is sweet now. So I just thought, you know, let's go try it. So we went inside there. And then when I was looking at the thing, they said, I think the medium Coke had a certain price. Then the jumbo one. I saw that the jumbo one was just a few cents away. You know? And I was just thinking, why settle for this? When I can just a little bit more. And you'll be into greatness. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, a little bit more and you enter greatness. And it's always like that. It's the same wisdom behind bulk purchases of anything. It's usually a little bit more and you have so much more. So much more just for a little bit more effort. I want to encourage you today not to quit. Not to quit in your mind. What makes someone strike 3 times and stay? It's because he looks behind him and he has come 6 steps and he's still not finding it. And now at step number 6, they are telling him there's 6A, 6B, 6C. And he's starting to think maybe this whole thing is a trick. You know, it doesn't really lead anywhere. But it did. He needed 2 more efforts. 2 more efforts to be knocking at the door of greatness. He was just supposed to do it 2 more times. 2 more times. 2 more times. 2 more times. I want to encourage you to go out of this place to try whatever you've been trying. Try it again. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Whatever you've been trying, do what? Try it again. Yeah. A little bit more. Sometimes we've called people and they haven't minded us. And they've called, we've called and called and called and called, and now we're tired of calling. But perhaps one more call. You see, one time somebody was saying to me that, no, I think it was Prophet or so who was telling this story. He said somebody was calling him and he saw his phone ringing, you know, and the person kept ringing, just kept ringing, you know, and I think he said, if this person would just let the phone ring another one, another couple of times, just, I'm just about to pick it. Do you see? Because sometimes the phone is ringing and you're in the middle of something. Yeah. Sometimes I'm on a call, I'm just finishing a call and somebody's, You see, and I don't want to interrupt the end. So I just hope that the person would have the faith. Just let it ring twice more and we will talk. But just about that time you see them, they just give up. Yeah. And when they give up, I don't go after them. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? You have to keep trying. Don't quit until you have what you want. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Once the word of God has assured you, the prophet assured him, this arrow is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Yes, and it doesn't matter how many times you shot it without seeing deliverance, just keep shooting it. Just keep striking the ground with it. Because that's what the prophecy said. The prophecy said, if you do this, this will happen. So believe the prophecy. Believe the word. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep pressing forward. Let's keep praying. Let's keep rising up early in the morning to pray. Yes, let's keep doing it. Let's keep praying. Let's keep evangelizing. Let's keep going out. Let's continue visiting. Let's continue calling people. Are you understanding it? Let's keep calling people. Let's keep inviting people. Let's keep picking up people. And continue and continue. And tell the devil, you know something, you will be tired before I get tired. Because this guy got tired before the battle was over. And says he won the battle 3 times. And when Elisha died and they buried him, the bands of the Moabites invaded the land in the coming in of the year. Just shortly after. Shortly after. But if he had put in those 2 extra efforts, his life was about to change permanently. Permanently. Yeah. Sometimes you look at people who go to school. If they were to put in a little more effort just to pass 1 or 2 more exams, they would change their lives permanently. Everything would change. Everything would change. Because it doesn't take a lot more. Maybe you should, after today, just start looking out for things. And just, you will see that most things don't take a whole lot more to become so much greater. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. They don't take a whole lot more to become so much greater. Even when you dress up, sometimes you've worn all the main things. You're just left with a couple of accessories. Yeah, two steps. The left and the right. and it will transform you from looking like a boy into looking like a girl. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you've done all the main things, but the girliness is not quite coming out. Because you're missing two small things. Do you see? Yeah. When you get those two steps, then your beauty starts to shine forth. You are unmistakably a girl. Are you understanding the word of God? So this is my short message to you today. Hallelujah. And we see in here, we see the example of the Apostle John. The Apostle John, who must have read all the other accounts, because the other apostles had written accounts about the life of Jesus Christ. And Matthew had written, and Mark had written, and Luke had written, you know. And John could have said, you know, everybody's written, everybody has done it, so there's no point just repeating the same stories. Do you see? But if John had not done what he did, you know, so many beautiful scriptures that we know we wouldn't have. John could have said it to himself, there is no need to write another gospel, isn't it? Yeah. Yes, there's no need for another record. There's no need for another effort. Do you see? Yeah. Sometimes when we've gone on outreach, you see some people would tell us, oh, your guys just came here. Yeah, and they see you coming and they wave. They are saying, there's no need for you to come. But we need to learn how to say to them, yeah, I know they came, but I have something else to just say. I know they came to you, but I just want 2 minutes with you, please. Just 2 minutes. Yeah. And you'll be surprised that you might say something different that might get their attention. Because John said something different that made his gospel accepted among the gospels. And today is one of the most popular gospels. Do you see? Yeah. It's from John that we have, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Isn't it? It's from John that we have the famous John 3:16. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's from John. Do you see? Yes. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. That's also from John. Do you get it? That whole conversation with Nicodemus, which is where we get that, except a man be born again. And the other one, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, Matthew has 28 chapters without that. Yeah. So you see, somebody may talk a lot, but it doesn't mean he has said everything. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. That is why you must always add your contribution. Always add your contribution. Even in the church, you must add your contribution. You may say, oh, they already have people who do this and people who do that. I don't think they need my help. No. You'd be surprised that you would make such a difference. Your little effort would make such a difference. John is the one who wrote, I am the good shepherd. Good shepherd. In John chapter 10, you see a whole thing about what a good shepherd is. John is the one who writes, I am the light of the world. I and my Father are one, is another one. John is the one who tells us, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So abundant life, actually the concept of abundant life, which is a very popular Christian concept, it comes from John. Yeah, without John going the extra mile and saying, look, I can just add on a little bit. We wouldn't have all these things. Other scriptures, he says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life. Right? Then I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Don't you enjoy all these scriptures? You see, they are probably the most popular ones. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. I am the vine, you are the branches. Then John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And then if you love me, feed my sheep. These are all scriptures that we learn from John. Hallelujah. So I want to say to you that there is still some room for more effort. Amen. We can do a little bit more. We can do a little bit more. Hallelujah. We talk about giving in the church. We can do a little bit more. Just a little bit more could make a big difference. Could make a big difference. Just a little bit more. Have you seen those things that are sold where they say if you buy one, it's this price. But if you buy three, it's the same price plus just a little bit more. Yes. And I easily get taken in by that. So my wife says that I'm trying something for the first time and I buy six. What if I don't like it? Because I always fall for just a little bit more. Just a little bit more and I can have a whole lot. Do you see? We need not to quit. Amen. We need not to give up. We must press on. We can do just a little bit more. Amen. Amen. We can do a little bit more concerning anything and any area of our lives. God is calling upon us not to become discouraged. We must not strike and stay. Do you get it? Yeah. Yes. Let's keep going out. A little bit more. A little bit more. Let's keep praying. A little bit more. Let's keep coming to church. A little bit more. Let's keep doing what we are doing. A little bit more. So long as what we are doing lines up with the word and lines up with the prophecy, let's keep doing it. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep doing it. And we will soon enter into the results that we have sought. Hallelujah. And God is going to bless it. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Like I said, today it's a short service today. But I want us to pray for a few minutes and ask God to deliver us from being complacent and satisfied with just a little effort we have made. A little bit more prayer, a little bit more outreaching, a little bit more effort will make a big, 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 big difference. It will make a big, big difference. A little bit more studying of the word. A little bit more practice, a little bit more effort. Maybe if we woke up just a little bit earlier, this whole thing about being able to spend some little time with the Lord before you go out will just be resolved. Yes. Because maybe all we're missing is just 30 more minutes. If we could have 30 extra minutes, we may enter a whole new area of our Christian lives. And God is showing us we can. Hallelujah. We've done something, but we can do a little more. Amen. We've tried hard, but we can go a little further. Amen. So let's pray. Everybody, close your eyes and say to the Lord, help me. Yes. Help me. Yes. Help me. Go the extra mile. Yes. Yes. Go the extra mile. Try to do a little bit more. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody just pray concerning whatever area. You know your life and you know yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Masha katale amalababoya moshandaria lababaya. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You can't give up. You can't give up. You've come too far already. You can't give up. You can't quit. Yes. You can't quit. You can't give up. Where are you going? Why are you giving up? You are just on the threshold of victory. And God is saying to you, you're almost there. You're almost there. You're almost there. Keep trying. Keep trying. Keep coping. Keep managing. Because you're almost there. The time of your trial is coming to an end. You are about to enter a whole new season of your life. In the name of Jesus. Just say, Lord, strengthen me, inspire me, and encourage me to finish in the name of Jesus. Yes. Don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I can't give up now. Come on. sing it one more time. Come on. As we close the service, maybe you're here this afternoon and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to give my life to Jesus. I know I've heard many messages, but today I know I've come close enough to my salvation and I want to take it. I want to take my chance now because God is reaching out to me. I want to pray with you. If you want to give your life to Jesus, just shoot up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You want to give your life to Jesus today, just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Now, you may also be watching us online. You may be listening to the podcast, but you know in your heart that you're not saved. But God is calling you today. God is calling you today. You've tried this Christian life thing. You've tried it and it has not worked for you and you have given up. But God says you are just one more step, one more effort. Don't quit just before your victory. God is calling you today. God is speaking to you today. God is inviting you today to Himself. Lift up your right hand and I'll pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? God bless you. Just, why don't you come to me? Just come to me. If your hand is up and you're serious, I want you to come. Come up to me. Just leave your seat and walk up to me. I'm going to pray with you. Is there, if your hand is up and you're serious about it, yes, just come. Yeah, just come to me. I'd like to pray with you. Come down. Let's pray together. Just come and let's pray together. I want us to pray together. Everybody just join us as we say this prayer together. You know, when you come forward, what you're saying is, Lord, it is me. I'm saying that I need you. And I'm not ashamed to declare that I need you. So, Lord, hear my prayer. The moment you start making your way towards the front, God has already seen your effort and God has begun to answer your prayer in the name of Jesus. Everybody join us, even online. Just keep your hand up and just say this prayer with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. And today I acknowledge you as the only one who can save me. The only one who can save me from my sins. So, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I open up my life to you. Please come in. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me and let your blood cleanse me and make me a child of God. I want to be a true child of God. I want to be a true Christian. Lord, I know I may have tried this before, but I'm trying this one more time. Because I know I'm close to my salvation. Today will make a difference. Today is that big day. May my life never again be the same. Thank you, Jesus. Say it again. Say, thank you, Jesus. Everybody say it again. Say, thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now let me pray for you. Father, the Bible says that when we come to you, if we take the step to come to you, you will in no wise cast us out. And so, Lord, as she has taken the step to walk boldly into you, may you seal her position in you in the name of Jesus. May her life never again be the same. May she experience, Lord, a mighty visitation of the power of God. May God enter your life. May Jesus enter your circumstances. May Christ bring his blessing into your environment. Your home and your life will never again be the same. I declare that things have changed forever because Jesus is now Lord over your life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. I think that's a good song to sing. Can you take the key up? I can't give up now. Sing it, everybody.
Come too far from where I started from.
Sing it again.